We're standing today in the Chapel of St. Faith in front of a late 13th century wall painting of the saint. The Blessed Sacrament is reserved here, and the holiness of this chapel is tangible. In normal times, the abbey clergy meet here each day to begin the day with morning prayer and the Eucharist. It's an intimate, enclosed space, right at the heart of a massive edifice for large-scale public liturgy. But here, at the beginning of each day, well before visitors pour in for special services or to view the abbey's exquisite beauty, here we become aware of God's abiding presence with us. This love, the love of the risen Christ, isn't dependent on other factors. It doesn't change. It's a mystery to adore rather than a conundrum to be explained. In today's Gospel reading, Jesus promises his friends that he will not leave them orphaned or comfortless. In fact, this Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, will be with them and within them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, by which Christ is known in the believer and in the world, is the indwelling of love, a love which gives us strength, a love which answers deepest need, a love which recreates, and which fundamentally we are called to share rather than keep to ourselves. This love abides with us. Let us pray. O God, in whom nothing can live but as it lives in love, grant us the spirit of love which does not want to be rewarded, honoured or esteemed, but only to become the blessing and happiness of everything which longs for it. Love which is the very joy of life, your own goodness and truth within the soul. For you are love, and by love our Redeemer, dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To read for us from St. John's Gospel, it's a great joy to welcome the Bishop of London, the Right Reverend and Right Honourable Dame Sarah Mullally.
A reading from St. John's Gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Jesus said, "Those who love me will be loved by my Father." So, I must talk about love, and honestly, that gives me a moment's pause. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and as I developed a Christian faith, it was framed by people writing and talking about love, which was, of course, all you need. It's easy. All you need is love. Throwing off a constraint and embarrassment that had done us no good, psychiatrists and theologians talked about love much more freely and took some pride in their ability to draw on the language and experience of sexual love. In the words of a friend of mine, somehow God had crept into the bed, and one longed for the sanity of Charles Williams' advice: when you play, don't pray, and when you pray, don't play. The love that those 70s theologians preached about, that singers sing about and poets write about, is a glimpse of something, but only a glimpse, only a beginning. We have much further to go in talking about the love of God. It might help to remind ourselves that when Jesus speaks these words about love, it is as part of his last discourse, part of a long speech in St. John's Gospel that begins, "Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." This love, he describes, leads him into the hatred and prejudice he will encounter at the hands of religious leaders, into the fickle affections of a crowd, and into the violence of a pragmatic state. This love reaches all the way to the cross. It is also, we must notice, not a love that begins with us and with our experience, but with God. The last discourse is rooted in the conviction that seeing Jesus, you see the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? It really matters to St. John that we understand that we keep doing our theology, keep thinking about God in completely the wrong way. The best we can ever do is use words, and the words will never be enough. The most we can manage is to say, well, God is a bit like this, or a bit like that. So God becomes a father, or has a strong right arm, or an all-seeing eye. And that does help a bit, but frankly, it confuses us just as much. When we talk or think about God, the first important thing we have to say is that God is nothing like anything else. God is only like himself, though even then that himself lets us down, as though he's more male than female. St. John knows all about this problem with language and with love. When we talk about love, our ideas about love are where we start, of course they are. But God's love is other, it's different. As John explains, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The love that Jesus speaks of is the love that the Father has and gives. It's not our experience. It is a summons into something we can barely even imagine. It's powerful, it sustains the agony of the cross, it's transforming and rises from the dead. And yet it is not overbearing or even jealous. Listen to this from Timothy Radcliffe. Michel van Eerde once compared God to an English gentleman who is so immensely discreet that he does not want to obtrude on the people he loves. He'll put a head round the door to make sure that they're happy with their current beloved, and then, as much as he may wish to stay, he'll leave them be. As C.S. Lewis said, it's a divine privilege always to be less the beloved than the lover. I cannot describe this love to you, this mighty, gentle, generous, life-giving love. Words fail me. I get reminded of a poem by Emily Dickinson about painters wanting to paint the perfect picture of old mountains dripping with sunset. The poem ends with them knowing it cannot be done. Domenichino dropped his pencil, paralyzed with gold. I know only this. Jesus invites us into the love with which he loves the Father and the Father loves him. He speaks of love as an invitation or a summons into what we can become and might be. It's a love that turns utterly away from itself and what it knows, only to discover that in that abandonment and loss, there is discovery and identity. I cannot go there now, but I have been to the chapel at the Royal Foundation of St. Catherine. There on the floor, there's an inscription. We do not come to God by navigation, but by love. Faith is not a journey we make, an effort or an achievement. It is God who does the work that must be done, and God does it in love. The Beatles were right. It is easy, and all you do need is love. God's love, not ours. Or, as Herbert McCabe put it, the whole of our faith is the idea that God loves us. Anything else we say is just a way of saying that God loves us.
Sir Edward Elgar wrote his oratorio, The Apostles, in 1903. This opening chorus, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," sets words from Isaiah 61. It celebrates how the Lord's love heals the brokenhearted. This gospel is to preach deliverance to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind. It is to those who mourn the oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The anthem is sung by the Abbey Choir. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O gentle one, who has touched our soul. You have loved us from the moment of our first waking and have held us in joy and in grief. Abide with us, we pray. Grace us with the realization of your presence and with it the fullness of our own humanity. Help us to claim our strength and our need, our fragility and our beauty, that encouraged by the truth of your desire for us, we might work to restore compassion to the whole human family and renew the face of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Standing together in the light of Easter, as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we pray now for God's blessing, so we commend to his protection the sick, the sorrowing, and the fearful, along with all those who keep us safe and make us well. God, who through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory, give you joy and peace in your faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.